ఆన్యా ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర శ్రీవాసవి గౌర భక్త వృంద హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే హరే.
Verse 4, Factor of Instruction. Dadati pratighrinati guhi makati prichati bungte bujayate chaiva sadvidam priti lakshanam. Offering gifts in charity, accepting charitable gifts, revealing one's mind in confidence, inquiring confidentially, accepting prasada and offering prasada are the six symptoms of love shared by one devotee and another. So yesterday we spoke about this verse and actually, yesterday we were quite few persons here, but anyway, I asked you to read the purport and the verse and to find some practical moments that are really relevant for you and you can apply, and you are already applying in your life. So, did you do anything about this? Yes, Prabhupada.
Something that is very relevant to me is the offering prasadam to devotees.
Okay.
It's something that, because I myself like to accept prasadam, so I thought this is a good way to start. So,
I can bring some.
Very practical.
So, sometimes I would, just feel like, I should do something for the devotees. So then I just get mahaplate from the temple like that, invite some devotees home, or Sukirtan, and share the prasadam. And there's always too much. So then we take it and distribute it to the guests outside. Okay. And that's basically the only one of these six. Well, I accept prasadam. that's the only thing I do, but it's very satisfying.
Feels great, huh?
Yeah.
There was this teacher training course some years back, and then the students, we were supposed to... what was this exercise? We were supposed to... You did it, actually. We were supposed to give a... Everybody was supposed to give a talk. And then on particular subject matter. And then there was supposed to be this... how do you call this? Interactive...
Discussion.
Yeah, group discussion, brainstorming. This interactive ways of teaching. And then there was one devotee who was very clever, and he decided that, okay, my topic will be the six types of loving exchanges among devotees. And what he did, he actually did it. He brought gifts for everybody. And then he gave all these nice, very nice gifts to all the students. And then this was actually the experimental learning exercise. So he did this, and then he asked them a question. So how did you feel about it? And was it nice? And then they actually had to grade him at the end. The students, they had to give him a mark to the teacher. So you can imagine if they got all these nice gifts, the mark was...
That was what they gave him in return.
Yeah, I didn't think about this, actually. So they got the gift, and then they gave back good mark. It's really nice.
Everybody was happy.
Everybody's happy. Thank you for sharing this. Okay. Yes, Matej.
The last tradition of conscious society is nourished by these six types of loving exchange among the members. Therefore, people must be given a chance to associate with the devotees of ISKCON. Because simply by reciprocating in the six ways mentioned in the past, an ordinary man will fully revive his former Krishna consciousness. So, when the devotees have some trouble in the spiritual work, well, they realize it's not usually because of a philosophical,
rarely. Very important. When you mention this, usually people leave because they don't feel appreciated. I just remember there was a story. One sannyasi was telling a story how in the beginning he had some troubles and he would come and go to the temple. He would leave for some time, he would come back. Then once he left the temple, he thought, I'm leaving. That's it. And then he heard when he went home. He heard that one of his friends in the temple, he said, I'm not, until he doesn't come back, I'm not going to take any food. I'm fasting. And then he had to come back. You know, he let him fast for 3 days. And then on the third day, he came back. So it is actually very difficult to leave the society of devotees if you have good friends there. For philosophical reasons, it is possible, but you have to be kind of very intellectual person and be very convinced. But if you have good friends, then it is hard to leave. There was another interesting story. I read a book years ago. And in this book, there was some order of monks. They were kind of soldiers. And then they were giving very severe vows. And then they were following them and fighting at the same time. And then one of these guys, he decided that I had enough. I left. I want to leave. I want to live normal secular life. He left. Then his friends, they were like a bunch of group of them, 20, 30 of them. They followed him. The next day they understood that he escaped. So they followed him. They found him like 2 weeks later in some place. And then they confronted him and they told him, look, you belong to us. You gave your vows, we are your family, and you cannot just live like this. You have to come back. And then he came back because, not because they forced him, but they did something very clever. They bound him by the ropes of love and affection, and you cannot escape. This is the thing, one thing you cannot escape. You can fight coercion. You can fight back, but this type of relationships are very binding. And that's why, because we always try to get Kadamurkana Swami to Bulgaria, but he doesn't want because he has so many places to go. But recently he noticed that we're getting we're doing too much things for him. And now there's a danger that at one point he has to reciprocate. Again, the same principle. of binding by service, actually, by doing service, selfless service. Very good point. Thank you. So, next one. Yes.
On the point of revealing one's mind in confidence and inquiring confidentially.
Yeah. Which page is this?
It doesn't say so much in the purport, actually. It mentions the negative injunctions of this verse. That we should refrain from giving anything or accepting anything from the Vaivas and atheists. But I find this very very important and sometimes lacking principle in our devotional life, because we are all in the need of having intimate friends, and by revealing our minds and listening to others revealing their mind and confidentiality, we will see that we have something in common even with people that we didn't think that we had any common with, at least because we are seeing more on the level of the soul, that we are all having the same kind of problems and those things. So if we can perform that, it is, to me, it's a great inspiration. I feel oftentimes when I'm implying these principles, time just flies and I can, you know, talk for hours, and after I realize, whoa, so much time passed. You know? So I really feel enlivened by these exchanges, and it gives me a lot of strength in Krishna consciousness, actually.
Confidentially revealing the mind and asking confidential questions.
Yeah. I'm trying to help people. That's oftentimes the thing that
missing.
If we are engaged in our own activities, there can be a tendency, at least for myself, to not see other people's when they're struggling and those things. But if we are a little sensitive, then we notice those things, and by asking, you know, okay, are you okay? And giving ourselves time to listen to the answers, and that helps a lot. And that when I'm struggling, if people, they take that time, it gives me again strength to continue with the most strength in my spiritual life.
Otherwise, the tendency is that we just do our service. In some temples, you have this very strong tendency. The service is 6 hours or 4 hours a day, and then you finish. As soon as you finish, you go back to your room, you lock yourself up, and then nobody sees you until the next morning for Mangala Arati. That's it. And you have a long corridor of rooms, and the devotees stay there inside these rooms, locked up, and everybody's doing their own thing. But they don't associate much. And the mood sometimes is kind of gloomy, depressed. Yes?
Something that the Guru said about revealing the mind is that in a dark place, all things can grow like and rotten.
Yeah.
You can become out of control and like, you know, like fungus or something like that. In a dark place, so you put light on something, then you can see it.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about this point. What will happen? What happens if you say you have a problem, you have a doubt, and you don't share this doubt with others? You don't follow this item of loving exchanges with the boss. You don't reveal, and you keep it for yourself. What happens then? Let's make a survey.
It will grow. Until you completely become absorbed in that only.
It will grow until you completely become absorbed in that, and then that means you basically stop doing what you. Okay.
You lose control over it.
Because it becomes too strong.
When you associate and you speak about doubts or problems, just by listening to yourself say it, you get some realizations of what the situation actually is. Mm-hmm. Someone else has the ability to see it without all the emotions connected to it. And maybe give
advice.
Yeah.
Yeah, they say sharing the problem, just speaking, your problem is kind of half, 50%. You solve the problem just by having the strength to speak it out, to articulate it clearly. Okay, very good. Yes.
Another point I think is that when you speak your problem, you realize that you and your problem are separate because you're speaking about it. Otherwise, you identify like this is everything. The problem is you identify with it very strongly.
Okay. So by speaking, by sharing, you separate yourself from the problem.
Yeah.
In other words, you separate yourself from your material mind or your polluted intelligence. Nice. Yes.
It's a very important topic because a few months ago, one devotee in France seeking a discrete strategy. Yes. And the main reason was because he did not he did a mind, so no one was able to.
Maybe she tried, but nobody was there to listen. It happens. We have cases like this. Okay?
I just would like to connect this to the previous verse where I spoke about the jhava, because there has been a tendency in some places to avoid these discussions, you know, about problems, because it's seen as the jhava is just totally unnecessary. And I would just like to say that.
It is not.
It's not.
No, it's part of the process. Yeah.
Personal problems, it is connected to doubts and some personal problems in his life. It's not the jhava.
Okay. Yes.
I think in connection with the novices that I have experienced that sometimes when devotees talk about problems, they're solving them, but sometimes they're actually making them bigger. So this is sometimes hard to distinguish actually which is which.
Self-indulgence and actually sharing, revealing your mind and asking for help.
Sometimes a problem is not really a problem if you just let it go, you know. Mm-hmm. And if you keep bringing it up, then you actually create the problem. Obviously, if you really have a problem, then you need to share it.
Yeah. We'll come back to this to this point a little later in our discussion, but it's relevant. Yes. In other words, should not try to be just the center of attention, just bringing again and again.
It depends on what you're connecting. Are you connecting to the problem or are you connecting to the solution? Now, if you're talking about the problems, you should be ready to move forward towards the solution.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, good point.
Inside what they're also saying, I find that in this topic of sharing the mind and asking help in the devotees, it takes a lot of borrowing what you have inside, you know, your attention, your love for that person. And I was going to point out that when you do say something, your problem seems very normal. Many people have the same thing, so it just gets smaller in that second.
Yeah, yeah.
You start to something unique. Yeah. Then you just see, so many people have had the same thing. There's a system for solving them. And then that helps moving on.
Yes, I remember also reading years ago for first time Madhurya Kadambini, and there you can find the acharyas actually, they describe so many of our problems that we think they're unique and they're unsolvable and they're so ugly, so, you know, grotesque that nobody else have them. But they're actually, they're right there on the pages of this book described. So this also helps to see that we are not alone in this struggle, and there are many people, many devotees going through the same challenges in life. So, sharing, speaking out, this helps to realize this. Yes?
In this point, I think it's very important that we focus on education in our society, so that when we reveal our minds, then we don't just indulge in the problem. We are actually given the tools on how to analyze the problems and can help the other person who's maybe emotionally involved and doesn't see the problem from an intelligent platform.
Okay.
So the person that is revealing the mind should be able to listen and then give some solution, like Klaus is saying, you know, to how to solve it. And to explain how to solve the problem in such a way
and also I'll add that this confidential revealing the mind, it's not by chance that Srila Prabhupada uses this. Revealing one's mind in confidence and inquiring confidentially. Two times. So first, we have to find a proper person to reveal our mind. We shouldn't reveal our mind to everybody and anybody. We shouldn't just put this out on the internet, for example. It doesn't work like this. And also, when we are on the other side, when someone approaches us and reveals his mind and his problems, then we should also be very careful not to to be confidential with this, to keep it among ourselves. This will strengthen the faith and the relationship. Otherwise, what happens? Someone reveals your mind to you, and then next day you put this on the internet and everybody knows about this. This will destroy the relationship. And the people won't share anymore, because they know, if I dare to to admit that I have problems and I'm not perfect, which we are not, then everybody will know and they will criticize me. Like years ago, there was a lecture in Radadesh. Excuse me, I have some. It's getting cold, I guess. So there was a the example of Chaitanya Charitamrita, you know, the story of Srivast Thakur, someone envious person. He put in his courtyard, he put this at night, he put this paraphernalia for worshipping Durga, and he was famous as great Vaishnav devotee, and now it turned out he's Durga worshipper. Then the next morning, Srivast Thakur, when he saw this, he said, just see what kind of devotee I am, I'm just a pretender. He took it in this way. He was so humble, a perfect example of devotee. But then the person who was giving the class, he said, but if something like this happens in ISKCON, let's say someone points out, okay, you did this and this, and it's not true, like in the case of Srivast Thakur, this was not true, this was not the case. But if he reacts in this exemplary way, and he says, just see what kind of devotee, and then everybody else was, yeah, just see what kind of devotee, I just kick him out of the movement and do all these things, you know, they throw him out of the community for 3 years or something like this. So this social dynamics should be, we should be conscious about this. Yes?
And that again connects to education, because we are very much conditioned, as Maharaj says, to our Protestant Christian background. So either people, they are totally saintly, or they are sinners who should go to hell forever. So
eternal condemnation.
Some people might see it as a social obligation to broadcast, you know, people's defects, because yeah, then they will be able to properly associate with these, you know, fallen people and actually not associate with them. So if we have a proper education and people, they will understand our philosophy, really, then they will
and culture
feel like that. Then they will know that even if you're having difficulties, it's just, you know, temporary, and you are engaged in the process, and it will be removed soon. Especially yeah, if you're given help and the support, protection and support.
Yeah. There was this story about some, in the same line of thought, about some, I think, Japanese or Korean company, big company, and then one of the workers there, he did something very wrong. He, first of all, he cheated his wife with the money, which belonged to the company. So he did this twofold criminal activity, you can say. Then what happened? They understood this, and then the the boss of the company, what they did, they called him and they explained to him, we know everything what you did. Now what we can do for you, the solution we offer is, you work a little more for the next 10 years, you pay your debt back, so we won't go to the police with this. We just pay the money back and that's all. We'll cover this. We'll explain everything to your wife so she doesn't kick you out. And you can keep your family life. We already spoke with her, so she understands and it's okay. So, would you like to proceed like this? So they kept him inside company. Exactly the same thing what you say. Protection. And what was the other thing? Understand. Support, yeah. And then people, if you treat them like this, they will be, the devotees will be very comfortable and they will advance nicely. But if we just, you know. Okay, let's move to the other one. To the
one more point, because if okay. People, they are having that kind of support and protection, they will also be willing to sacrifice their life for you.
Yeah, I was watching a video of one of the most famous, the most successful companies at the moment. Forgot the name. And the CEO, he said that his realization is, if you have happy staff members, then in somehow or other, this will result in having many happy customers. So if you keep the devotees happy, protected, safe, then we'll preach very effectively. Okay, so what will happen if you because now we're discussing what will happen if we don't share. What will happen if we do? If we do find the proper person and we approach him confidentially and reveal our mind of doubts.
Because you see what makes
you advance. Okay.
Then if we have somebody who we can reveal our minds confidentially, then both, if we have a problem, then by speaking about it to that person, we'll see that it's not such a big problem, and therefore we'll be able to progress. And also, because we have that relationship with the person, we will have the because of our affectionate relationship with them, we'll have the inspiration and the motivation to overcome the problem after mm-hmm. seeing that it's not so big.
Okay.
My experience sometimes is that even though speaking about the problem to somebody can minimize the
pain.
Degree of the problem, uh-huh. but still, unless there is that concern that is shown by somebody else. It doesn't have to be the same person, but there should be somebody. Then there's not much, it can still be difficult to overcome the problem because there's no motivation.
And you can feel this very clearly. You can feel.
Yeah, very clearly.
The person who is listening to you, is he really concerned about you or not? You can understand this, isn't it? Someone said that you can hide your hatred, but it's very difficult to hide your indifference. This is hard, and people notice that if you're indifferent. Good point, thank you. Yes.
And on the point Prabhu is making, it will also broaden our reasons for staying in the movement from, you know, just be in the movement because we feel obliged to Prabhupada and, you know, the philosophy and on a more, how to say, intellectual platform, to bring it to an emotional platform because the exchanges are there. So even if we think discouraged about management or something, the persons are still there and we feel connected to them. So for their sake, we'll be
okay.
Attracted to staying in the movement.
So if you, that means you'll be more motivated to perform and to preach and to...
Exactly. And also on the whole point of protection, because protection means that all of our needs are taken care of. Mm-hmm. We need an emotional exchange. So if we have that kind of impersonal approach as some places, then we will look elsewhere mm-hmm. for those emotional exchanges and might turn to the colleagues or old friends or something mm-hmm. that is...
Yeah, this one thing, we should exchange this. We should have these loving exchanges inside the family of the devotees. We shouldn't do this with non-devotees. We mentioned this previously. Okay?
Well, there's another thing that, like we were saying, then our reason for staying in the movement will not just be because...
Of duty.
Yeah, of duty. Or because
you're supposed to.
We'll stay for other people. Yeah. And when you're doing something... for yourself, it can be easy to say, well, I don't want it, you know, it's not so important for
me. Exactly.
But if you're doing it for somebody else, then it's, if there's some affection reason there, then it's much easier to perform it.
If you work for yourself, you can work only up to certain standard of dedication and quality, because you can say, that's it, I don't need more, right? Like, I like this preparation, and I cook this every day for me, and that's simple and it's nice. But if you cook for your spiritual master, then you go beyond this. You can give more. You can surrender more to someone else. Right. So as we mentioned, these six loving exchanges should be cultivated with the devotees, and they can be cultivated with Krishna also directly, of course, through the medium of the spiritual master and the devotees. How do we do this? One sannyasi was given class years ago, and then he mentioned that because he's fully dedicated to preaching and he's a senior devotee, very advanced, and he said, I noticed that I didn't bring anything to Krishna for a long, long time, because I was thinking I'm giving my life to Krishna, so why should I bring a flower or fruit to Krishna? And then he said, but then I start thinking that I should do this. Sometimes I should just come to the temple and bring something to Krishna. Fruit, for example. And in our Sankirtan party, we had this tradition. After Sankirtan, we would pass by the fruit market, and then we'll buy fruits and then bring them to the deity. Because this is... In this way, we cultivate relationship with Krishna. You give him a gift. Actually, it is mentioned that we should give the best of our possessions to Krishna. We should offer whatever we have, the best to Krishna. What is most dear to us, we should offer to Krishna. And then Krishna will reciprocate. It's a very sweet relationship. So another thing we should be conscious is that this loving exchanges and confidential inquiring and revealing the mind. We are not advised to do this with opposite sex. Or at least we should be very careful, and we should be conscious about the real situation, what is going on. The girl comes and she wants to get advice, and because there is a problem, and then you explain something, then she comes again because the problem was not solved, then you again explain, and then she comes again because the problem is not the problem. The problem is that she needs affection and attention. And what happens is that gradually develops a relationship, and then it can be problem for a married couple, for married people. It happens again and again. So it can be problem for the brahmacharis also. So just short note. I don't want to go in depth in this topic, but it's important to to mention this. Yes, please.
But when you say it can be a problem for married people, you mean that one of the married people develops an affectionate relationship to somebody else?
Outside the marriage, yes. It happens again and again. Usually we talk that the brahmacharis and the sannyasi, they should be careful, and it is true, but it doesn't mean that the grihastha shouldn't be. The fact that you're a grihastha, it doesn't mean that you're immune and maya doesn't work on you. Everybody should be careful.
Just a short note on this, that in the tradition of Vedic society, there was like two branches of the Grihastha Ashram. There was the women were associating amongst each other, and the men were associating amongst each other. And they wouldn't mix except for their spouse. So that was the basic
be conscious about this. Yes. All right. Thank you. We'll continue next time, Thursday, with verse number 5. Or if there is something more you want to share about this.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama.